All right. Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. It's a wonderful privilege and pleasure to be here in Liverpool. Starts with an L. Got it close. It really is a privilege. I just want to thank Russ and the leaders here just for the privilege of being here. For those of you, a little brief, I actually grew up in South Africa, so I don't talk like an American. We lived there for about 45 years, and then we felt God call us to go start a church in America. We went there in 2003, myself and my wife started a church. We've been there, 13 years, and a year ago we handed that over to my son. So him and his wife now lead that church, and Michelle and I are a little freed up to travel a bit. God has been profoundly, profoundly gracious to us. He really has. I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for his grace. I wouldn't be married if it wasn't for his grace. I'd probably be divorced because I wasn't the best character in town. So just by his grace, I stand here. So I never want to take it for granted in any shape or any form. It's by his grace that I stand here. Amen. It really is. In that time of worship, we're actually American citizens. We became American citizens last year. So as I say to people, I'm now African-American, so it's just Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to grab another chair to put my Bible here if I can. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this: I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. So that verse tells me that the gospel is the power of God.
Amen.
The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that word salvation means to be completely made whole, not only just forgiven, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, to be made whole. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God. It's an incredible statement. Inherent in the gospel is the power of Almighty God. Inherent in that gospel is the power of Almighty. That power alone is able to save the vilest sinner and transform the hardest heart. Trust me, mine was hard at a stage, without any help from humanity. Any help whatsoever. God is able to come through the gospel and change the hardest and vilest heart. And that is the greatest miracle on the face of the earth. To take a heart that is bound and hard, full of sin, because we are born with that nature, folk. We've got to understand that. Because of what Adam did, we're born with this leaning towards doing things that we don't actually want to do. It's like a compulsion in us that drives us that way. Are you with me? And that has to be dealt with. Mankind has tried to deal with it through the ages, through different means and different ways. But only God can deal with it. Only God can deal with it. I use this example. I don't have a bottle of water. I need to throw something up, but I don't want to throw something up. But all right. So if I throw this glass, it does come down. If I throw this up, it comes down. Why does it come down? Hallelujah. All right. Because of gravity. So gravity is there. Whether you believe it or not, it's there. Trust me. Jump off the roof. You'll find out. You're with me. It's there. Whether you believe it or not, gravity is there. Whether you believe it or not, every single human being is born with a sin nature. But it has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with. So if I take a bird and I hold the bird and I release the bird and it flies, what happened to gravity? Still there. It superseded gravity. He's 100% correct, but it's still there. So when we give our life to Jesus, when we surrender to the gospel has the power to change that which pushes us one way and kill it, stone dead in that sense. Take care of it. So there's still sin in the world, but we no longer pull towards it. We are free to fly if we choose to fly. Amen. You with me? And that's what the gospel does. Frees us up.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Frees us up. Yeah. That's the power of the gospel. But the gospel is about a person called Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. It's about a person called Jesus Christ who lived on this earth about 2,000 years ago. He was the Son of God. He was born into a human body. He gave away, or he laid down, his divine attributes. Jesus, when he walked on this earth, did not know all things. He did not have all power. He could only be at one place at one time. He couldn't be everywhere. So he had to trust and rely upon his relationship with his Father to direct him and lead him. But he never sinned. He was tempted, but he never succumbed to that temptation. So when he went to the cross and died, he was able to deal with your sin and my sin. It's a simple message. I understand that. And people think, it's got to be more than that. No, that's it. God took the sin of mankind and put it on his Son. And when he died on that cross, and he said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Because he became full of mankind's sin. That's yours and mine. You with me? He was buried, but it doesn't end there. That's the beauty about it. He rose again. And in rising again, that's what we celebrate, he overcame sin, death, disease, sickness, and the demonic. He overcame it completely. So he lives victoriously. He's alive today. And what he did 2,000 years ago, he still does today, because the Bible says it's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You with me? That's the gospel. You can't have part of it. You've got to have all of it. He's risen. He's King. He's the Lord. He's full of grace and full of love. And so he knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows every detail of your life. We were in Kansas City many, many years ago. We had the privilege of going to a conference, and a particular guy called, doesn't really matter who it is, but I'll mention his name, man called Paul Cain. He was a fairly prophetic man. Just means he could hear God. For others at time to time to encourage them. And he preached, and after he preached, it wasn't a great preach. I pray mine's a little bit better, but anyway, I'm just being honest, that's all. But then the guy that was leading the service said, well, do you want to say a few things? Then he like stepped into the gifting that God gave him. God gives us gifts. They're free. You with me? We've got to learn to operate. And his gift was in a prophetic gift. And he said, there's somebody, he had a number of words, but the one particular one, I'll never forget it. He said, there's a lady here, your name begins with an M and it sounds like, and you live, and he gave the street address. Is that lady here? There were about 5,000 of us. And that, well, she's sitting behind us, Michelle and I, and she put her hand up. He says, that's me. And he said, your dad, this was in May, he said, your dad is turning 80 in November, but he's very sick. And you wondering if you should go ahead and make arrangements for his 80th birthday. And the Lord would say, go ahead, make the arrangements, he will be there. She broke, she wept. Why I'm telling you that? Because God knows every detail of our life. And he cares about every detail of our life. He says, a God of grace and love. You with me? He knows what we struggle with, as this man said. So I'm encouraging you, never run from him, run to him. So the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now if we can turn to John chapter 1. You got that scripture, and I'm going to read it from here. Because I want to talk on two reasons why Jesus came to earth. There's actually 9, but I just want to touch on 2 briefly. We can go to John chapter 1. The Bible says there's 9 reasons why Jesus came to earth. It was obviously to die, take your sin and my sin. Verse 29 says, the next day John, that's John the baptizer, or John the Baptist, he actually wasn't a Baptist, he was a baptizer. The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I've just said something about that. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And he's talking about the time that Jesus was baptized in water, for those of you. And as he came out of the water, a dove from heaven came upon him. And Jesus received the baptism of the Spirit. He received power from on high. And only when that happened to Jesus could he do what he did. He couldn't do it before, even as Jesus. He couldn't. He had to be entrusted to the Father and receive power from on high and be led by what his Father told him to do. And John the Baptist said, I saw that happen. I was the one who put him under water. And when he came up, this dove came. And I was told, when you see that happen, this is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the one who's to come to take away the sin of mankind. You with me? So verse 33, I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize water told me, the man in whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I've seen and I testified that this is the Son of God. So there's two things here that John talks about. First of all, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And because of his love, Romans says this, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 4:25 says, he was delivered over to death for our sin, your sin, my sin, but was raised to life for our justification. Hallelujah. So if you believe Jesus, if you truly believe Jesus and you truly are born again, in other words, you know his life is in you, you are righteous before your Heavenly Father. You're declared righteous. Not because of what you did, not because you're here this morning, not because of what you gave, not because you read the Bible, not because you pray, not because of anything, but because of Jesus Christ. That's it. And everything we do flows out of that because it's a relationship. You with me? Amen. But then he also said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus came to take away our sin and position us and make us sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. And we become sons and daughters. And when you become a son and daughter, you have full rights. Galatians 4:4 says, you have been given the full rights to become sons and daughters. What's the full rights of a son or a daughter? You can eat at your father's table anytime you like. Anytime you like, day or night, you can come and eat at your father's table. Sorry, Abby, and where's your brother sitting over there? They can come and eat at their mom and dad's table anytime they like. Go open the fridge. Okay, unless mom says, don't eat that. That's for supper. All right. This just probably happens a couple of times. But they have the freedom to come and open the fridge and see, what can I eat? Because they're sons and daughters. You have the freedom to come to your father's table anytime you like, and it's always full. You have the privilege of his fatherly care. You also have the privilege of his discipline, because God disciplines those he loves, and it's for our benefit. And you have the privilege of getting your inheritance back, not only eternally, but here on earth. There's an inheritance God has for you. And you have the privilege of his voice. A father speaks to his kids, or a mother says, amen. So you have full rights of sons and daughters. But so Christ redeems us, puts us in a place, and now he says, but hang on, you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in order to be and do what I've called you to be and do. Just like Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit to be and do what the Father called him to be and do. Amen. Very key. See, that's part of the gospel. When John and Peter were arrested and put into prison in Acts chapter 4 or 5, and the angel came and set them free, the angel said, go back and preach the full gospel. Not just part of it. Not just your sins are forgiven. That's the start. Not just your love. That's good. Not just you're redeemed. That's good. Not just that I love you. That's good. Not just that you're justified. That's good. Not just that I paid the price for you. That's good. But I also want to empower you to be and do what I've called you to be and do. We can't leave that part out. Amen. So I want to talk a little about what does this mean, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it's so mystical and it's so confusing to people, and unfortunately it's been made a weird thing. People have seen some weird stuff and they've been put off by it, and which I fully understand. So let's just briefly look at it. Why? So you can know for sure in your heart, this is something that God has for me. You can know it. You can ask for it. You can seek. You can have full assurance. This is not to harm me. This is not to hurt me. This is not to make me weird. This is just to empower me to live the life that God called me to live. You're not going to float off the ground. You're not going to do any of that stuff. You're just going to be who you are, but you're going to have the super smeared on the natural. That's all it is. It's like suntan lotion, you know, when you go out. Well, do you have the sun in this place? Okay. Sorry. I'm not too sure. Okay. But when you do get the sun, okay, it does come. All right. Okay. Sorry? It shines out of you. Okay. It would be nice to feel it on as well. Okay. All right. But when it does come, and it does by faith, hallelujah, okay, you go outside and you take the suntan lotion and you smear it on your body to stop you from getting burnt. But you don't walk around all day and saying, look, I'm not getting burnt. Look, I'm not getting burnt. Look. You just go about your life. You go and swim or lie on the beach or play soccer, cricket, whatever you want to do. You go about your life trusting that the suntan lotion is protecting you. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does. Go about your life trusting that God has empowered you to do what He's called you to do. He doesn't change your personality. He takes your personality and empowers it in a way that it's you, but then you have impact. Because God doesn't only want to redeem us. He wants us to touch a dying world with love and grace. But we need power to do that. Some of you went street preaching yesterday. Is that correct? That's hard. That's very hard. Trust me. I've tried it. It's hard. But not everybody's called to do that. So don't everybody try to do that. If God's asked you to do it. With me. You've got to look very secure, boy. Because when you stand up there talking, these people walk past you and look at you like you're nuts. And say things to you that, oh, all right, you got to know God loves you. But not everybody's called to do that. You die a couple of deaths, I agree. Not everybody's called to do that. Not everybody's called to play the piano like this man. Where is he? Chris, play the piano. If I played the piano like that, we would go and eat lunch, I promise you. If I got behind the piano, should I say. I'm not gifted to do that. You're with me. And I don't even know if I'm correct about that man. He's a businessman. He's gifted. It's a gift from God. You with me? And God wants to empower us so people can see who Jesus Christ is. You with me? So what is the baptism of the Spirit? So we never get confused. So some people say, but when I got saved or born again, when my son, you received the Holy Spirit. You're right, you did. You did, because the Holy Spirit came to live inside you. That's what the Bible says. You actually did. You're 100% correct. He came to live inside you. So it's very important to understand that the New Testament experience describes two separate experiences, both which are described as receiving the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you now. It means it's possible for a Christian to have received the Holy Spirit in one sense or expression, but not in the other. Amen. Okay, let me explain. There's two Sundays. There's Resurrection Sunday and there's Pentecost Sunday. There it is over there. Okay, Resurrection Sunday and Pentecost Sunday. I'll just let you quickly read through that. I'm going to explain it. We're celebrating Resurrection Sunday today, where Christ rose again. When Christ rose again, He still walked on this earth, but He walked out in His resurrected body. And that scripture, John 20, verse 21 and 22, very simply says this, and I'll read it so I don't misquote it. I want you to understand it biblically so you can know authentically, yes, I can trust God for this. I can desire for it. John 20, 21 and 20, verse 20 says, after this, verse 19, on the evening of the first day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, they were afraid. Jesus came and stood among them. He had died, He had risen again, but they hadn't seen Him yet. And He said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So what happened? Yeah. Jesus came. Now he's died for their sins. Because when Jesus walked on the earth before his death, everything was still in the Old Testament. But he prophetically was demonstrating what's coming down the line by what he did. In the Old Testament, when there was a leper, they took the leper and put it away from society. In the New Testament, what did Jesus do? He touched the leper. In the Old Testament, they weren't allowed to do that. But yeah, he touched the leper and he healed him. And he's saying, because it's different in the New Testament. You with me? And so he comes, now he's died, and he calls his disciples and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he literally blows on them. It's the same thing, or the same root word that when God created Adam and Eve and he formed them out of the dust of the earth, and the Bible says he breathed on them. It's the same. He breathed his life into them. And if I had my wife here, I would do that. But I can't do that because then I've got to touch her lips and I can't do that with somebody else. All right. And he breathed into them and he said, "Receive who I am." So he took his disciples and he breathed. And he breathed who he is into them. And he says, "You're now born again." That's when they got born again, because they weren't born again before. They were operating in the Old Testament. You with me? It's very important to understand this. The sins were forgiven. And they had this eternal life in them. Eternal life's not a destination, people. Eternal life is the life you're having. It's Christ's life inside you. You're living it now. Amen. He breathed in them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So that's what happened on Resurrection Sunday. They passed from Old Testament to New Testament. They received the eternal life. Yet after this wonderful encounter, Jesus said that their experience with the Holy Spirit wasn't complete yet. He actually said to them, wait. So go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I know there's a lot of scripture, but I want you to get it in your heart. All right, we're going to explain that. John 1 now. Luke. That's a South African terminology, isn't it? Is that right? Means shortly, means soon, means a couple of minutes. Now. Yeah, okay. All right. Luke 24, verse 44. He said this to, let's go to, I just want to make sure you know that I'm talking about the same thing. Okay, verse 36, it says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to, "Peace be with you." Remember in the Gospel of John, that's what he said. So this is the same incident, but it's just told from Luke's perspective. And then he talks, and then in verse 44, he said, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and so on." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. How many of you, when you got saved, all of a sudden you understood things you didn't understand? That's what happened to the disciples. Like they said, oh yes, now we understand. Because revelation came upon them. It's the only way you know Christ is when your heart is revealed, your heart is opened. That's what Paul said. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, would be opened. It's like a camera. You take a camera and you push the shutter, the lens opens, light comes in and floods in on the lens, and with the light comes the impression or the photograph or whatever it is and imprints on the negative. And Paul is saying, I pray the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. Click, open, and the image of Jesus would come and be flooded in you. You'll never be the same again. Never be the same again. You might wonder you are there, but you'll never be the same again. Amen. Never. And that's what happened to them. We understand. But then he said, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance, forgiveness, sins will be preached in his name. To all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, you're witness of this. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. So he's talking to these people that are born again, that have received the Holy Spirit. But hang on, guys. Don't go anywhere yet. Hang on. That's what he said to them. Hang on. I know you understand things now, that you're not enabled to do what I've called you to do. You need power from on high. You need power. Just like I had to get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you need power from on high. Wait, it's coming. It's a gift, my Father. It says it's a gift of the Father. You with me? Because the Holy Spirit could not be poured out, people, until Christ was ascended. Only when Christ was ascended could the Holy Spirit come to everybody, open to everybody. You with me? All right. So let's go back to this scripture, and you can see on that side. So I've explained John 20, John 1:12. Literally, when you receive Christ, that John 1:12 says that I gave you the right to become children of God, born not of natural descent nor of a human decision, but born of God. Means when you become a child again, you get given authority to declare you children of God. I gave you the right, the authority. So what happens is you receive Zozo life, you leave eternal life, and it's manifested in authority. Because as a child of God, he gives you authority. Amen. All right. Now, so 7 weeks later on Pentecost Sunday, and you can see this there, this is what happened. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. If you go to end of verse 3, it says, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days. He spoke about the kingdom on the occasion while they were eating. He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So they still didn't understand everything, and they asked about restoring the kingdom of Israel. He said, no. It is not for you to know the times or the dates. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Go to Acts chapter 2. 50 days later. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. I don't want to read the whole scripture, and it's like tongues of fire came and settled upon them. Now, let's explain what's happened here. His disciples walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They saw him. They understood in the sense of they saw what he did. They put a longing in their heart. When he died, Peter denied him 3 times. Remember, he denied him. Denied him, but the Lord said, that's okay. I'll draw you back. Isn't it incredible God is? I'll draw you back. You're going to deny me, Peter? Never, Lord. Never deny. Okay, we'll see. All right, yeah. You see, God knows what's inside our heart. He knows exactly what's inside our heart. And because of his grace and love, he'll allow it to come out so he can heal it. We sometimes don't know what's inside. But he allows it to be manifest, to come out, so we can recognize it and cry out for mercy and forgiveness. So he said, okay, I've redeemed you, but wait, you need power from on high. That's what he was saying to them. So you can be my witnesses. You can just not witness for me, just be my witnesses. In other words, just be who you are and you'll be a witness for me. Just live your life and be ready and open just to do what I ask you to do. Go next door and give the lady a cake. Phone your friend. Tell them you miss them. Simple stuff like that, people. And God takes those things and he uses them to open the hearts of people. Because if God has spoken to you and told you to do it, it carries something of the power of heaven behind it. Because it's God's voice. You with me? He says, but you need power for this. You need power for this. So on Pentecost Sunday, it was the outpoured spirit. The result is equipping, supernaturally enabling, and manifesting power. So let me explain what happens there. I need something to dip in the water. No, I need something. It's not going. Why don't you go put some water in there, please? Or what I'll do? Sorry, you want to dance? All right, hang on a minute. I've got something here. Sorry, I should have got this organized before. My eye drops. I'm going to need your help here, if you don't mind. Why don't you come stand this side? All right. The Bible says that when we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit took us and he baptized us. That means you go under into the church. You with me? When you get born again, and there's another slide, I don't know if you have it ready or not. You don't? Okay. When you get born again, you get baptized into the church. You get put into a family. Like when you were born on this earth, God put you in a family. Because it's in a family environment that we grow and receive love. And we know how to just learn and grow and mature. You with me? So it's 1 Corinthians 12. The Bible says, when you receive Christ, you were baptized into the church. That means you go down under. That's what the word means, baptizo. It actually means to go down under. You with me? Every time the Bible talks about being baptized, we don't need this anymore. Every time the Bible, we do, hold it there, sorry. Every time the Bible, actually you hold it, yeah? And I'll tell you, just hold it there. Every time the Bible talks about being baptized with the Holy Spirit, it means you've been poured over from above. It's a waterfall coming upon you. You're not going down under, but you've been immersed in everything of the power and the personality of the Holy Spirit. It's coming down upon you. That's why the fire came upon them. It wasn't breathed into them. It came upon them. So you pour that water. That's what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Thank you. And every time, everywhere in the scripture where it says be filled with the Spirit or baptized, it means you receive it from above. And that empowers you to live the life that Christ wants you to live, because you can't live it on your own.
Amen.
You can't live it without his enabling. It's impossible. Thank you very much. Okay. We'll get it later. Thank you very much. You with me? It's very important, people. These disciples, they were born again, but they were still locked. They were afraid. They had no impact in the city. Nothing was happening in the city yet, even though they were saved. I wrote you in my notes. Authority is not the same as power. The first disciples already had this authority from the time Christ's resurrection onward. They were already sons of God. They were able to lead godly, overcoming lives. They were no longer the slaves of sin. However, during the period from Resurrection Sunday to Pentecost Sunday, these disciples made little positive impact upon the great majority of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. As a whole, during this period, Jerusalem was little changed, little affected by Christ's resurrection. Life just went on as normal. But that was about to change. That was about to change abruptly and dramatically as the Holy Spirit came down upon these 12 men. As soon as the 12 believers in the upper room baptized, the whole of Jerusalem immediately felt the impact. Immediately.
Amen.
When you get baptized from on high with the Holy Spirit, there's impact coming in your life, through your life. That's what's happening. You with me? There's impact coming. The empowering of the Holy Spirit is for you to do what God's called you to do, not for you to make you feel nice and good. It's a suntan lotion. And it's for every believer. Every believer. Because when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, things change, people. This is what begins to happen. You receive power. You receive power to witness. You receive power in your gifts and your ministry. You receive power in spiritual warfare to engage. All of a sudden, you glorify Christ in a different way. All of a sudden, the gateway to the supernatural is opened. You begin to understand supernatural things and begin to see in your heart supernatural things that are happening. Because there's an unseen realm that we cannot see or understand unless God opens our hearts to it. All of a sudden, your prayers begin to change. There's a spirit-empowered prayer. All of a sudden, the scriptures come open to you. Oh, my, in a new way, in a new revelation. You have daily guidance, and you have this abundant life in your life. And the most important thing is you're filled with love, divine love. You're filled with a divine love. It's God's love. I grew up in South Africa, and I'm ashamed to say that. I grew up in the apartheid years, and I was blinded to it. Blinded to it. I honestly was. I'm just being honest. When I got saved and born again, it's like my eyes opened and I said, this is not right. And God put a love in my heart for African people that I never had before. I didn't not like them, but I didn't love them like I did then. So I started to go up into Africa. I started to go up into Zimbabwe. I started to go up in Malawi, Zambia, Mozambique, Kenya, Congo. We used to take food and clothes because you can't help it. That's what you do. You with me? That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does, people. So my encouragement to you this morning is, if you say, God, I'm sitting here, but I don't really know you personally, we want to pray for you. I want to know in my heart that I'm a child of God. I want to know without a doubt. Not perfect. Not perfect. Abby's not perfect. Trust me. Okay. But she's a child. You with me? I didn't say perfect. I just said you know you're a child of God. Working through things. But loved by your Father in heaven. Loved by your Father in heaven. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No matter what you do. Amen. Maybe you're a Christian and you say, but God, I need to be empowered. The disciples were empowered. Two chapters later, they got re-empowered when the whole building shook. Because you know why? It's like the Holy Spirit leaks out of us because of the daily pressures of life. So we need to be constantly refilled. You with me? So we become supernatural people. And so we would like to pray for people. First of all, for those who say, I just want an assurance in my heart that I'm a child of God. I'm loved. I'm redeemed. My sins are forgiven. I know that. I need that assurance. Or secondly, Lord, I know you love me, but I know I need to be empowered. Good. I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to live the way you want me to live. I'm asking you because it comes through hunger and thirst. And it comes through asking. That's how you receive it. You don't have to do anything. You just say, God, I need to be filled with power. Amen. We would like to pray for those people.